I'm trying to see here if we have a quorum.
Dr. Caputo, this is Ryan. Hey, Ryan. We were monitoring the that's so hard. We were monitoring the people joining, and it looks like we have six.
That's what we need?
That's all you need. Unless we have a conflict on a specific case, then you'll need seven.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. I'm hopeful that folks were pleasantly surprised by the agenda they received. Certainly much lower caseload than we've seen in the past. So we'll take the reprieve, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of our other business done during this meeting as well. So why don't we go ahead and do a roll call since we're now in order.
Caputo.
Here.
Cross.
Here.
Dodell.
Here.
Okami.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Levine.
Here. I think you said Levine.
I did.
Here.
Motari.
Here. Yeah.
That's cool. Pretty.
Okay.
And Dr. Clemanchi is absent, and then you have two vacancies as well.
Okay. Thank you. So next item is just to identify any conflicts of interest anybody may have, and any announcement of those conflicts.
I have a conflict with Dr. Vizcarra. I need to recuse.
Is that you, Skip?
Yes, Dr. Harris.
Yep. Could you provide a case number?
Yes, sir. That would be 2022-00013.
00013. Why am I not seeing that?
That was on the last agenda. I wasn't sure if we were doing it also.
No. Just the items that you see on the current agenda.
So I think that's the question. We're not going through any previous list from the last meeting that was supposed to be transferred.
No, and so just to make a quick statement about that.
Okay.
As you guys may remember or recall, because we couldn't get that business done and we had trouble rescheduling that meeting, it was referred back to the internal investigative committee, and they reviewed those remaining cases and made the recommendations to the full board. So our agenda today is only going to be covering the 11 items that are presented. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. And so just to reaffirm that, any conflicts regarding the current agenda of the 11 items that are listed? Okay. Hearing none. The next item is approval of minutes. So we have two items to do, and might as well just do them separately. So is there a motion to approve the minutes from May 10th, 2022?
Dodell, motion.
And second?
Cross, second.
Okay.
Dodell and Cross.
Any... Or should we just roll call it, Ryan, just to be official?
You know, your attorney would give you that recommendation since it's all virtual to do a roll call on all your
okay.
votes.
Let's go ahead and so we'll roll call for approval of the minutes. Deborah, you're muted, Deborah, if you wanted to say something.
But yeah, I do have a correction on the May 10th meetings. There's one instance where I'm referred to as Dr. Kappas rather than Ms. Kappas, and that's on page 5 of the minutes themselves, or page 8 of the document.
So we'll accept that correction with our approval for the roll call.
Yasmin, just for the record, that's under number 10 on that page. Thank you, Dr. Kappas.
I appreciate the that was the easiest doctorate anybody ever got.
Caputo?
Yes.
Pratt?
Yes.
Goodell?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
And Motahari?
Yes.
Okay. And so to make this a little more efficient, for item B, the June 28th, 2022 minutes, any discussion on the minutes in terms of corrections, omissions, errors, what or whatnot?
I have a question. I don't know if it's going to be a correction or not, but I noticed that throughout it always said there were three absentees, yet, and I know we have two vacancies, but I didn't see on the list of attendees that there would account for three absentees.
Okay. Staff comment on that for.
So it 8 and 3 make the 11.
Right.
I'm not sure. Seamus is the board's legal counsel. Have we introduced Seamus to you guys?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Oh, well, maybe not.
So Seamus, let me just do this real quick. Tell me if I'm doing too much, Seamus, in this item. But Seamus is new to the board as the board's legal counsel. He's not new to the agency for the Attorney General's office. He's recently assigned. So I probably should just welcome him. He's here. I don't know if you want to say anything or if this is an appropriate time to say anything. Seamus.
I'll just say hi. Hello, guys. Nice to meet you. I look forward to working with you.
The other thing, maybe I'll ask you, we have 11 members. This committee is 11, voted to 11 members, but we have two that are permanently absent because they resigned. And then one member was absent for other reasons at the last meeting. And I think that's what Deb Kappas's question is. When we do a roll call vote, can we just do absent, or do we need to be more clear to say two vacant, one absent, or how does that, is absent clear enough?
That's a policy issue that I'll leave up to you guys, whatever you prefer. I know some boards, they'll put, you know, recused, absent, vacant. Some will just do recused, absent. So if it helps you, you know, you can put the vacancies in there, but technically, yeah, they would be vacancies and not absent.
Right. But I don't see a member who is absent. I see the two vacancies. Everybody else that's listed there is listed as present rather than absent. So
you're saying it should be 9.
Yeah. If there was an absentee and two vacancies,
okay.
There's two vacancies, but I don't see the other absent. Okay.
So, go ahead.
Hey, this is Cynthia Fukami. Deb, I'm not sure exactly when and at what times, but I think Dr. Kalamshi at that one meeting was in and out at various times.
Yeah, she was in and out.
It may very well have been
listed in the minutes that way, and I see that. So she's listed that way, mm-hmm. But there were plenty of votes that were happened that she was present, and it doesn't look like everybody's accounted for. Like, either those numbers or consistently 8 people attending the meeting instead of 9. Or if there were 8 people, then somebody else on our committee member list should be listed as absent. So Ryan, it sounded like you knew who that other person was who was absent.
Oh, you know what? I just looked at the June 28th meeting, and I think we didn't mark that. We have on the page 1 of the minutes, which is page 11 of your packet,
mm-hmm.
has the X notation for absentee member, and it's Dr. Levine was not present at the meeting. She had a conflict and couldn't be there with her schedule. We just didn't note it on there, so we'll have to make that amendment. That's a good.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually following you, but that's a great catch.
All right. So what's the correction then that needs to occur?
We need to, on page 1 of the June 28th minutes, and which is page 11 of your packet, we need to add the X notation next to Dr. Levine's name, notating her.
Okay. So we can do that correction. Any other discussion?
That's it.
All right. So can I have a motion to approve those minutes with the correction?
I move to approve the minutes as corrected.
Dodell, second.
Thank you. Roll call for the motion.
Caputo?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dodell?
Yes.
Pukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Pappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motahari?
Yes.
And Kalamshi absent.
Okay. So on to agenda item 4. So hopefully I'll do this to everybody's liking this time. So in accordance to what we've established as our process moving forward, I would move to consider the following cases for dismissal to the full board, recommendation of dismissal, starting with item number 5, case number 2022-00035. Item number 6, 2022-00049. Item number 7, 2022-00050. Item number 9, 2022-00059. Item number 10, 2022-00084. And item number 11, 2022-00093. In light of those recommendations, is any board member want to see any of those discussed further? Let's just deal with that to start with, please. So if there's agreement to those, let me just make sure I counted this correctly, but I believe it's 6 cases. By default, I feel like we should discuss the remaining 5. So I don't know if others feel the same way or not, but effectively, I'd be the one pulling them.
I make a motion to recommend dismissal of the aforementioned cases.
Okay. Is there a second? Fukami second. So roll call on that motion for dismissal of the identified cases.
Udo?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Dodell?
Yes.
Pukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motahari?
Yes.
Is Dr. Cutler on the call?
Ed, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Just to jump in here, it is my understanding that the IIRC committee is no longer meeting. Is that true, Ryan?
Yeah, as of 9:23, the Internal Investigative Review Committee will no longer meet. That'll be the last meeting of the IIRC, and everything will come directly to this committee.
Okay. And in light of that, I would recommend that you make sure that you review the remaining cases as you discussed. Make sure that you do review those and make recommendations to the board, and I'll help you with that. So,
yeah. Thank you. So is it just, do I just see Ben? Is that the consultant rep that's with us today?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then never mind. I won't ask my question. It was just a curiosity, so I can do that another time. All right. So moving forward, we are now on the remaining 5 items within number 4, section A, beginning with item number 1, 2021-00028. Ben, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, this is a file against dentist Mark Espinoza, the report done by Dr. Cutler. Allegation number one being an overbilling situation. Allegation number two being an inadequate upper denture, as claimed by the complainant. And then there were some standard of care issues related to anesthesia. So
that's it.
There are the allegations in which Cutler was identified.
Correct. So from what we can see in the conclusion presented by Dr. Cutler, allegation one was considered not substantiated. Any discussion regarding allegation one by the committee? Okay. Allegation two, inadequate upper denture, was also indicated as not substantiated. Any discussion by the committee? Okay. Allegation number three. So this one was a referral to us and then to our recommendation to the board based on how the rule reads, the dentist permit holder shall provide all dental treatment. And that was not done, as was identified in this case. It was another dentist who did not have any type of sedation permit, who was working with. Now, I'm not that it's a huge deal for us per se, but I know Dr. Cutler refers to the provider as a physician anesthesiologist, but my sense it was a CRNA, but that's neither really here nor there. But the other dentist was not permitted to function in that capacity. And according to the way the rule is written, that would be, but actually both ways it was a violation. One, it was a violation based, again, how this is written, that Dr. Espinoza didn't do the treatment. And then also for Dr. Chandra Kirti to perform the treatment without a permit. So discussion.
This is Cynthia Kami. You can hear me. So I had a couple other questions related to this as well. And I already reached out to ask if I was the only one that missed this, but in at least one email attached to this record, it states that the anesthesia records and health history forms were attached. And I was unable to click the link and open it. It looks like it was not openable. And as well, the response was that it was attached to this set of records and it's not included that I can find. Was everyone else able to open that?
I know for me, Cynthia, I did not. I saw the same thing.
This is Mary Boardstaff. So if I can jump in for you, that's just a saved email as a PDF. So you wouldn't have been able to click on any of the links. That's just showing you that they provided the records and all the records are in the file for you to look at. That's how he sent in his records, was through email. So they were only clickable links for myself.
So what we see is all of those records.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So does that help, Cynthia, or did you have other questions?
That's one. I think because we're taking it at face value then as to who provided the anesthesia and, who was present during the time of the treatment, right? That's one concern that I had. Second was as well, one thing I noticed was in the fee that was charged to the patient, They were billed for general anesthesia or deep sedation via the office. However, the doctor's notes, since that's all we have to go upon, is that he listed that this was performed under conscious sedation. And so, again, my point of looking for those records, which should be a part of the chart, was to just sort out that discrepancy, because then that may or may not be related, I thought, to, and ultimately may not be related here, but to the exact nature of what was provided on that day.
Okay, so what would you like to understand better or make a decision about that we can do at this time?
Oh, sorry. And then last question is Dr. Espinoza, was he aware that his associate would need to have an OPA permit? And was Dr. Chandrakirti, did I say that correctly, aware that he should have one as well? I'm not sure if that was asked. That would be something I would have asked Ms. Dr. Cutler if she was available.
So I think one way I could respond to that is it's the responsibility of the dentist to know what's required for them to perform these procedures, right? And so you would have to then have the conclusion that both of them knew what was required. And therefore, if either of them functioned in the capacity that they did, they were in violation of the rule based on just as it's presented. So I don't think that we should try to make a conclusion otherwise based on the information that's presented to us. So that one I think is a little more straightforward. I'm just not sure how you want to handle the what was listed in a billing statement and what was done. I mean, that you see, my sense is you see there's an issue there. I just want to try to help you maybe tease it out a little bit more, because I'm not sure I fully understand what you maybe are looking to do.
I understand. Let me hold on my questions. I think Dr. Dodell had one.
I just wanted a clarification what Mary said. So she got an email with these attachments, but the attachments, we don't see them in the packet we got?
No, they're in the packet for you. So that's how they can send them to us. They're able to send them by email, and we download everything and we put it all into the packet for you to view.
So then going back to Dr. Fukiyama's question, where's the anesthesia notes that were in that attachment? I didn't see them.
That would be a question for the doctor or Dr. Cutler. She's the one that performs the interviews.
Okay. So I guess that answers your question, Cynthia. The notes are not there. And going on, in addition to Anthony, what you were saying about how to deal with this, the dentist that Dr. Espinoza had a 1304 permit, so obviously he knew that it was required because he had one. So he was letting a practitioner in his office without a 1304 permit operate.
And board members, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan, and I don't want to jump in, but just to provide you a little guidance, the knowledge is not necessary. All licensees are required to be knowledgeable of all the rules and statutes that they operate under. So, right.
And that's what I was sort of saying earlier. I don't know that it mattered one way or the other. Espinoza should know what the rules are, as well as Chandrakirti should know what the rules are.
No, and I agree, but I was just making the point that since Dr. Espinoza had his 1304 permit, it wasn't like the office was totally unfamiliar with that.
Oh, right. Correct.
That's, yes, what I was that's the point, yeah. I was trying to make.
Yeah, no,
I understand, Dr. Dodell's point. Yes.
And then if he had somebody working in his office, he should have said, you have a 1304 permit.
Right. Okay. So at this point, how do we want to proceed?
I make a motion we find a violation standard of care to begin with.
Okay. Disciplinary, non-disciplinary?
Disciplinary, probably in the areas of improper record keeping and functioning in an anesthesia environment without appropriate permits at a minimum.
So
So question, point of order, do we need to open up a new case against the other doctor for the 1304 issue?
I would allow members, I apologize, I would allow the main board to take care of opening any new complaints as far as recommendations go. I would encourage you to just recommend to the board what you think should be done in this matter with this individual.
They can recommend that the board open a case though against another doctor, though, correct?
They can, but it doesn't carry as much weight. That's not why we're here today, because the investigation has been done in this case. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, except for we just gave advice to the investigators when they write the report that they should include the entire investigation, including all potential other subsequent treating dentists. And then that way this committee can review it. And if we don't have an open investigation, then they would recommend that the board open an investigation and then bring it back for further investigation.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, I think we're talking about the same thing. So I'll butt out. Sorry, guys.
So I think, David, we'll take let's deal with this first. So we have so we do agree that there was a violation. So Skip, maybe to go back and probably better is what are we identifying is the violation here?
Well, we don't have any records that help us. I mean, whether that's an act of omission or they aren't present, but we don't have any decent records.
No, I understand. So are we just going to go along with what's here, 32-1201-01-14, is that fine? Or is there anything else is what I'm getting at? What's the statutory?
And Member Caputo, you can make your motion when you're ready. Just you can base it. If you're not going to add any extra allegations, you can just say based on the factual allegations and potential violations in the investigator's report, we'll recommend this.
Okay.
So I think if it is going to be record keeping, do we have to add the 32-1201.0124 as well as 14-14 for the
fine.
Twenty-four for the record keeping.
Yeah, exactly, and what I'm getting at.
Yeah. So
14 and 24, anything else?
I think we should add in there that the 14 is kind of related to the rule R411-1304A2, which okay. is the requirement for what's required under the permit.
Okay. And then, four, so just do two then. 32-1201-0114 and 32-1201-0124, correct? You're happy with that? So the reference on 32-1201-0114 would be with respect to the violation of R411-1304A2. Fair?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else besides 14 and 24 that anybody would like to add or discuss? So
April had her hand up, Anthony.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I don't have anything to say anymore. Thank you.
Okay. I'm jumping between my document and you guys, so I appreciate that, David. Anybody else? So those being the identified violations, Skip's motion was for a disciplinary action, which would include what for recommendations?
I think disciplinary CE is probably a reasonable first step.
Okay. In what areas and how much?
Probably 4 hours in record keeping and 2 hours in, I want to say anesthesia record keeping, but that's probably not jurisprudence and knowing the permits and what's required.
Okay, jurisprudence is fine. So 4 hours in record keeping, 2 hours in jurisprudence. Anybody else? Okay.
Well, if I can, this is April. If it helps, staff did research, and I think maybe Selena might have the answer on this one, but we did do research and we did look up priors for any potential licensee that you might find violations for. So if that helps with your...
Well, I did see that...
If it helps with your motions moving forward, feel free to ask us.
Okay, I did see that there were two actions against... Were they the same? Were they... Well, no, it looks like they're for two different complaints. Correct?
Yeah, and this is Ryan. In fact, one of the things we, as the board has gone through a sunset audit report or review, one of the things that has been noted, and we'll probably write something up about this for you guys in the future, but what they would like to see is if the board, and you guys are an extension of that, finds a violation, they would like for you to look to review prior action by the board before you come to a conclusion on the outcome of this case. So the one thing that you've done already is you've already found the finding of the violation, which you guys are really good at doing. And then once that you found a violation, then maybe review the priors to determine what the outcome should be. Should it be a letter of concern? Should it be non-discipline? Should it be discipline? So it's probably a good idea to review the priors. And all of our staff, the compliance staff, is now aware of this, and they will pull the priors before. So after you find a violation, maybe ask for the priors, and then when the recommendation goes before the board, it will include the review of the priors for the when the board reviews it at their future board meeting date. Does that make sense? Perfect.
Yes. So do we want to have somebody then review the priors for us?
Yeah, I just looked at
one. Selena.
Yeah, go ahead.
The first one is the non-disciplinary consent agreement, 3 hours of CE and ethics for inadequate upper denture. That was in 2018. Then since that person was not, or licensee was not compliant, they got an admin penalty for $500. And that was 2019. And that's all I have.
And they weren't compliant with completing the CE. Is that what I'm hearing?
At the time, right.
Okay.
Tony?
Yes. Tony,
When I read the first one, it actually says that he was given non-disciplinary continued education for record keeping.
Okay.
So.
Can I confirm if we made a motion on those? Did we make a motion on those violations and I just missed it? I just want to make sure. Did we find the violations?
We did, but we're discussing the priors right now.
Okay, but you made the motion on the violations already?
Not formally.
Okay, what you want to do is you want to actually find the violation. So make your motions on what the violation is and what the facts are that support it. Then the third part will be your disciplinary action. That's where you consider the priors.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I made a motion that was not seconded or voted upon.
So the motion, I had stated the motion earlier. If everybody's comfortable with that, Skip, if you're comfortable with what I restated for you, then we can move that and get a second.
Yes, so as amended by you.
So second? Dodell, second?
I'll take it. Right. We don't have the we're going to go now into the other part. Yes.
So the motion. So Seamus, do you want us to vote then on the motion before we?
Yeah, you need to vote on the motion and then you'll make a separate motion, which will just be for your disciplinary action.
Very good. All right. So let's roll call on the motion as presented.
A Caputo.
Yes.
Frost?
Yes.
Dodell?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay. So for recommendations, in reviewing what we see, so is there any clarification on what David had asked regarding the denture versus the record keeping? Are they one and the same? How did that work out?
So what I was reading was the point in the document says, Dr. Espinoza failed to record that he took a vertical and centric relation. Dr. Espinoza also failed to record that he took a bite registration. So that's definitely record keeping.
May I speak? This is Selena.
Yeah.
The actual non-disciplinary consent agreement was for 3 hours of CE and ethics only.
And then this came afterwards, correct?
No, this was the initial.
Okay, right. And then he didn't fulfill that, and so that's where the fine came in.
Yes.
Okay. David, does that help you?
So are we saying we can use the information that was in that order?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I was trying to frame it for in terms of how much we wanted that this is not a first offense about record keeping type thing.
Correct.
That's how I was framing it.
Well, then I think it makes sense that we're moving it from a non-disciplinary order to a disciplinary order. So.
Correct. And we already, that's what we voted on already. So that's fine. That part's done. So. The recommendation
that's what we're talking about is making it a disciplinary consent agreement rather than a non-disciplinary.
Correct. Well, just a disciplinary recommendation. I don't know that we have any consent agreement in there. It's just this is our recommendation. All right. So understanding that he has these two prior board actions that we presented. How does that change or influence what our recommendation are for disciplinary CE? Or does it not? Right now, the recommendation was for 4 hours of record keeping and 2 hours of jurisprudence.
I would personally like to see it up in number of hours.
Okay, go ahead with your recommendation.
I'll recommend 8 hours of CE or record keeping.
And anything on jurisprudence?
I'm okay with the original recommendation.
With the two. So now 10 hours of CE. Is that acceptable or do anybody have any other comments on that?
I'm wondering if there are this many hours of CE for record keeping. That's my only concern. I mean, how many times are you going to repeat the same topic over and over for so many hours?
So this is Cynthia Fukami. That's a great point. I was wondering that as well as wondering if the balance of them could instead be shifted to ethics CE, since I think that might be maybe more in line with the concerns here.
Okay. So what would you do for ethics?
So either four units ethics, 4 units record keeping, and 2 to 4 units of jurisprudence.
Well, I think we just need to stick with a number, so just put a number out there.
2 units, jurisprudence.
Okay. So, Mindy, how does that sound to you?
I think that's more doable. That's just my opinion.
Any other comments regarding the recommendations? All right. So, our response back to the board will be after reviewing the prior actions of this complainant or dentist, our recommendation to the board is the disciplinary action with the following CE recommendations. Everybody okay with that? Okay, so we're doing 4 hours of record keeping, 4 hours of ethics, and 2 hours of jurisprudence.
Yeah, if I may, Dr. Caputo, this is Ryan again with board staff. And I think as we start getting more into these meetings and attend more often, some of these kind of quirky things will work themselves out. But I think the way you guys started it in the last meeting, and I think there's been some time in between now, it's best that I think Seamus was trying to explain this, and I'll try to do it in more of a layman's term. Seamus is smarter than me, so he can agree or disagree with what I say. But what could happen is first find the violation of, and you did that with 32.1201.0114 and then R4.11.1304.82. So that's your violation once you've determined that and voted on it. So that's how I have it in my minutes, that that's what you found. Then after you do that, you look at the priors and then you make a motion for this. And so I think that you guys combined the motion. What I would prefer now is to see a second motion to say that you recommend the board offer a disciplinary consent agreement for 4 hours record keeping, 4 hours ethics, and 2 hours jurisprudence.
And I think that's actually what we were doing. I just think probably that was a little clumsy, but that's fine. But I think also in that original, Ryan, just to clarify your notes, we also identified 14 and 24.
Oh, that's right. You're correct.
Okay. And so this particular motion is exactly to what that, I just was making sure we were there ready to get to that point. So okay, our, that's fine. Our second motion is that we are recommending CE for a total of 10 units with 4 units record keeping, 4 units ethics, 2 units jurisprudence.
And that's recommending the board offer a consent agreement or an order for disciplinary action in that, right?
However they want to do it, correct.
Disciplinary consent agreement. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So that's the motion. Is there a second?
Do we want to add that they are in a, the C, to stipulate that the CE hours are in addition to the hours required for license renewal and shall be completed within a certain time?
Member Capps, I don't think that you need to go that far because I think, you know, you can let the board clean that up. As long as you hit the high notes and give them that solid recommendation, I know that helps. So.
Okay.
All right. Is there a second?
Levine, second.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Rodella?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Pappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motahari?
Yes.
Thank you. So it looks like we're on to number 2, 2021-00078. Ben.
Yes, this is a case also done by Dr. Cutler. This involves Dr. Sarah Ann Hansen. The allegation is to provide antibiotic to this patient. This patient had come for their biannual cleaning. And it was made aware that there was a draining abscess from tooth number 30. The radiograph is within your packet. The patient had no fever or any complaint at the time of discovery. Doctor reviewed the radiograph, made the diagnosis and recommendation for extraction. And the investigator felt there was no particular need for an antibiotic prescription at that time when the patient was seen.
Thank you. And so I think what we're all looking at here, because as we can see in the conclusions, the allegation wasn't substantiated, but the main issue is this allegation for failure to comply with the subpoena against the business entity.
Yeah, that was there as well. That was against Prescott Valley Dental Group. There was a delay. I think the records were finally received, but still in violation.
Right. So our recommendation, and I may need a little help with this one, is that there's nothing – we're looking to dismiss anything towards the dentist, But now we're just looking to discuss action, if any, against the business entity.
So, and Ryan, you know, you may, again, I don't want to step on your policy and protocols here as I'm learning the way your board does things. You know, I think, you know, if we need to open something on the business entity, then what you'd want to do is recommend dismissal of the case against this individual and recommend that the board open a case against the business entity. Mm-hmm. Is that acceptable?
So moved.
Basically the same as the last case. Same kind of.
Yeah. All right. So my question is, and so is there a motion to dismiss against the dentist?
I move that we dismiss this case against this respondent, but recommend to the board to open a case against the business entity involved.
Both recommendations, second. Right? Both recommendations?
Yes, okay. We recommend to the board.
No doubt, seconds.
Okay.
And just to clean it up, that is based on the information contained in the consultant's report?
Yeah.
Correct.
Thank you. Those are the magic words.
Okay. So let's go ahead and just vote on that. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Haas?
Yes.
Nadella?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Pappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motahari?
Yes.
So at this point, I guess we leave it at this. There's nothing further to discuss regarding what we want the board to do with the business entity, correct?
Correct. They correct. Need to do their investigation, and then it'll come back for you guys to determine what to do, what recommendations.
So just for my edification, can anybody speak to what sort of things can happen to a business entity so we sort of have some understanding of maybe how to handle this as it may come back to us or other cases that may come up in the future? Ryan, I don't know if you have any thoughts, but I mean, what can we do to a business entity?
So I'll speak to it as much as I can, but Dr. Seamus is probably going to prevent me from chatting about it. So can I go ahead and speak to this, Seamus? Or?
Yeah, no, I think it's okay. I think it's good for the board to understand, the committee to understand what they're recommending.
Okay. So you can take disciplinary action based on 32.13, which is where a registered business entities lie. And then the rest of the grounds for disciplinary action and a definition also come from 32.12.63. And so you can take action against the business entity as long as they value the business entity registration. So we have had multiple business entities just throw up their hands and say, that's as much as you can do. Most of it's going to be a civil penalty because you can't take, I guess you could suspend their business entity registration, but they don't have a license to practice. The license to practice is granted to the licensee itself that works in the business entity. So there's not a ton, and that's probably all I should say on that for the moment.
Isn't there an administrative penalty up to $2,000 according to 32.12.13H3?
Oh, I like that.
That would be a disciplinary civil penalty member.
Civil penalty. Yep. But, you know, it's hitting the old pocketbook.
It's available.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Just curious. All right. So we are on to item number 3, case number 2021-00081. Ben, I sure hope you're prepared for this.
Quite a few things. This is a complaint against Dr. Jenny Sun, orthodontist. Dr. Collins had done the report on this. Allegation 1, inadequate orthodontic treatment, mostly pertaining to records and record keeping, lack of Panorex and Ceph on the initial visit. Deficiency in x-rays throughout the case, collage of photos and x-rays don't match the dates of the initial exam, pretreatment orthodontic models were not available, doctor claiming that she gave those to the patient. Patient's health history has no particular signature. The identification of the bite class is missing. There's a couple other infractions on record keeping. Allegation number two, there was supposedly an agreement, refund agreement that was not failure to honor that agreement in the amount of $2,580.
Okay. Thank you. So what we're seeing is the consultant found that both allegations were substantiated. Are we seeing a violation?
I make a motion that we find that there's a violation in the standard of care.
Okay. And how are we?
So the violations would be again 32.1201.0114 and 24, which would be record keeping.
Okay.
That's a question going back to the maker of the motion.
No, I would agree with you. Anybody else? And anything else to add?
And again, is that based on the information contained in the consultant's report?
Correct. It is. On the information provided in the consultant's report.
Thank you.
Okay. So is this disciplinary or non-disciplinary?
Do you want to make a
motion first and then determine?
I think we have three people talking at once. Go ahead.
I believe we should find a violation first and then make the determination.
Okay, so we'll vote on the violation. Roll call.
Who's the second?
The second was Kappas.
Caputo?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Dobell?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motahari?
Yes.
Okay. So,
Mike, Tony, there's a hand raised.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Where's the hand?
There's our esteemed attorney.
I'd use the hand instead of jumping in on you guys. And so on that last one with the motion you just made based on the consultant's report, you said, so you just found a violation. So if you found a violation of the standard of care, then generally that's always going to be disciplinary. Otherwise, you're not going to find a violation of the standard of care, correct? In a non-disciplinary order, a non-disciplinary consent agreement, there's never a violation of the standard of care that's placed into that order or consent agreement if it's non-disciplinary. So if you believe there is a violation, then it's most likely going to be disciplinary.
So, this is Dr. Harris. I would just comment that in the past, we have found a violation of the standard of care, but found it to be of such insufficient or insignificant amount that we found a non-disciplinary result. And I thought that was reasonable.
Okay. And would you just please state that then in your motion that when you do finalize that if you don't find discipline that you say, even though it was a violation, it was insufficient. So, you know, that's why we agree with non-disciplinary.
Yeah,
that was going to be, that was our next step.
So you're way ahead of me. Sorry.
That's all right. We're going to get there. All right. So now we're on to the type of response. The review of the dentist file, there's no disciplinary history for this dentist, no actions, non-disciplinary or disciplinary. So, it seems to me that the push towards non-disciplinary is here. So what are we looking at? Well, first of all, if anybody disagrees with a non-disciplinary approach, please say something.
Yeah, actually, I think there probably should be some disciplinary violation because of the pretty very bad record keeping. I mean, this is a little bit more than just I forgot a signature.
Okay. Other discussion?
Did we ask for priors on this?
There, I just said there were none.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. Okay. The other aspect of this that I had a question about was the matter of restitution.
Right. I think we can address that as well. Let's deal with one thing at a time. Otherwise, I think we'll just get confused. So right now, our discussion is this a disciplinary issue or not? Skip says it is. Is there agreement that it is, or is there disagreement?
I think if there's restitution, I think that's automatically a discipline action, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
I'd like to make a motion that we recommend to the board disciplinary consent agreement for record keeping for 4 hours of continuing education. And then after we vote on that, then I recommend that we'll do another one for restitution.
You can make it all in one motion.
I thought so too.
Then I would also make a motion for restitution, the amount of $2,580 as was originally agreed by the doctor.
Perfect. Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Levine, second. Not giving it all to you, Kappas. all right. So I think we're fine on the restitutions. That's the amounts. Pretty straightforward. Any discussion on the number of hours? Or we're okay with that? Okay. So it looks like we're ready for a roll call on the disciplinary recommendation for 4 hours of CE in the area of record keeping and restitution in the amount of $2,580. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Rodell?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Mukahari?
Yes.
Okay. Great job, everybody. Item number 4, 2021-00088. Ben.
Yes, this was a complaint filed against dentist Anna Nguyen Vu. Reports done by Dr. Falk. Several things happening here. Allegation 1. There were multiple teeth that were treatment planned for buccal restorations with abfractions. One note that stands out is that in the notes, in the records, Dr. Falk is indicating that if the patient, the doctor indicated in the record that if the patient did not get these fillings done, they will need crowns on all of these teeth. Some of these restorations were done. Teeth number, I'm kind of pushing ahead to allegation 2. There was some trauma and post-operative pain. Teeth 15 and 18 required root canal and eventually crowns on those teeth. Third allegation, there was maybe some conversation between the endodontist and with Dr. Vu, that may have been some sort of HIPAA violation, as indicated by the investigator.
Okay. So what we're seeing in the conclusion portion is 4 allegations. Allegation 1 was indicated as substantiated by the consultant. Allegation 2 was considered substantiated. Allegation 3, which was just mentioned regarding the HIPAA violation, was considered unsubstantiated. And then there was, I won't say necessarily an allegation 4, but that a new case should be opened due to the issue identified with the restorative done by Dr. Chang. So I think we start with the allegations against the dentist, 1, 2, and 3, and ask for substantiation or not based on what we reviewed. So are we seeing actionable issues here? feel free to use your microphones.
There was some note on elsewhere in this chart about this patient could have sought a second opinion prior to treatment of the first three or four fillings that were done. Was that conversation ever had with the patient with someone else or with the dentist respondent here?
Well, I think it's always hard to determine it. I get all we really can discuss is what we've read over, right?
Right.
What I would say, though, in response to what you just presented, Cynthia, which I sort of have a position about in that it seemed like this patient went through a lot of lengths to do other things after their initial contact with the dentist. And that's where I'm sort of lost a little bit in terms of some of the conclusions that the consultant came to. I didn't seem to understand why all that effort was done by the patient versus just having those directed discussions with the dentist. That's what my observation was, and I'm curious to what others think. Is there agreement with allegation one and two as being substantiated or not?
I actually agree with the first one. I don't think there was enough. I don't think it was a proper diagnosis.
So you think allegation one is substantiated, but
yes.
Not allegation two?
I'm more in line with one, definitely.
Okay. Is there any thoughts about allegation two being substantiated?
Can I just make a comment about allegation two? From the x-rays, it looked like the patient did have a moderate size filling on 18 prior to beginning treatment. Is that correct? So that type of a filling could lead to a root canal over time, whether anything was done to 18 or not.
Okay.
What was the other tooth number that required the root canal? It was 15?
15.
Right. And that's listed in allegation two. And based on the consultant's notes, 15 and 18 were healthy teeth that did not warrant root canal treatment or crowns if it were not for trauma or fractures in those teeth from the fillings that were placed.
I'm just curious, how can we verify that the fillings caused cracks or fractures, as second molars tend to be the first place where those would show up in a patient with parafunctional habits?
That's our role. You just hit the nail on the head. What we have to do is look at the information that's presented to us and make a decision as to whether we agree with what the consultant is presenting or not. That's exactly what our role is. So that's why I'm asking the question. Do we agree with the conclusions reached by Dr. Folk or not?
Please forgive the oral surgeon for chiming in on something he knows nothing about, but I'm not real comfortable surmising as much as the consultant did.
It's exactly where I'm at. I feel the same way. I don't know that we can make the same conclusions. I think there was a lot going on here, and I also think it didn't help based on the actions, if you will, of the patient after the treatment was initiated. There's a lot of gaps here, for sure.
I'm just a lot more comfortable with cases where there's clearly a smoking gun. You know, I like to have the presumption of innocence, and I don't see a lot of smoking gun here, even if I don't love everything that went on.
Correct.
I would make a motion to dismiss allegation number two. I would request a restorative dentist to give more information about allegation number one. That's out of my realm.
So I was going to actually give you guys some of my perspective. From looking at the x-ray, it's really not substantiated to have this kind of a treatment option for patients. However, it could be a simple restoration as they open it up. Maybe they see crazed line. Maybe they say some signs that it gets it a little bit deeper than what they thought it would be. So that's why I was comfortable with one. I don't think they should ever started this to begin with, but I'm not comfortable with two because, as you've mentioned, there are not enough information to make decision on that. That's why I suggested to begin with.
So the sense of what I'm getting is allegation two and three are non-issues for us. We're looking at allegation one as being substantiated, and the substantiation is misdiagnosis and treatment. So based on your comments, Mindy, do you think there was both present misdiagnosis and treatment, or do you think it was?
I would say over-treatment.
Okay. All right. So is there agreement based on the committee's interpretation of their review as well as our discussion that allegation one is substantiated?
Yes. Yes.
This is Tim Cross. I don't know that we have enough information to say that either. It would be really nice to see some pictures, especially if they're doing fillings on abfractions. You're not going to see that on an x-ray, or most of the time you don't see it on an x-ray. I agree with everything that everybody said. I also feel like this is a case of overtreatment by the dentist, and I don't think that there's anything disciplinary that we can do based off of the information that we have, but this may be jumping the gun a little bit, but I think that, you know, possibly just a non-disciplinary letter of concern to the dentist saying, like, this really seems like quite a bit of overtreatment in this specific case. You know, however, there's no solid findings.
Well, that was the note that I made on this case, Tim, so I would agree with you. So is there agreement for a non-disciplinary letter of concern, or is there a position otherwise?
Can I pose a question? Was harm done to the patient?
I don't know that we can say it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
yeah.
difficult to say if no feeling was even necessary to begin with, going farther as far as root canal and this and that, of course, is harm. But I don't think we have enough, as we mentioned again, we don't know enough. We don't have enough information to make that decision.
According to the consultant's report, the actual harm that was identified says that she came in with no issues, left with five fillings, with pain, difficulty chewing, ultimately two root canals, two buildups, two crowns, and that she's now diagnosed with temporomandibular joint disorder from a subsequent provider. So.
Right, but then it's also unknown about potential harm, right? So I don't think, and I think my sense is regarding the consultant's write-up is that there are some stretches here. And I think it's to Skip's point as well. At any rate, I would propose a non-disciplinary letter of concern for this case. And if folks feel otherwise, please make that position known.
So we need to find the violation first, yes?
I don't.
Letter of concern.
No, it's not disciplinary, yeah.
Yeah.
I would ask, this is April with Steph, if you make a motion for a letter of concern, please state what that concern is.
Yes, we will do that. I appreciate that. Does anybody feel differently, or is that acceptable to the group?
This is Dave Dodell. I'm a little concerned because I'm looking back at the treatment notes, and the POE was this 9/25/2020. Basically just says severe erosion abrasion. It doesn't really say why those composites were done. It doesn't really give a good diagnosis. And it feels like this kind of, I as a restorative dentist feel that this was aggressive treatment for that diagnosis.
Well, I think we're recognizing that. Is it aggressive treatment that requires a greater action than a letter of concern, or would a letter of concern at least start the process?
I think it would be a good wake-up call if they just have a habit of being over-treating, or I think it's a good action, especially if they don't have anything else back in their record. We haven't got to that point yet, right?
this dentist has no disciplinary history.
Yeah, I think the letter is good because there are a lot of people that actually do over-treat and do over-treatment. So it would be a good wake-up call. That's just my two cents.
David?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
As a committee, don't we want to make sure that we don't read into what's present in the file and we don't inadvertently make, you know, our opinions known more based on what we think happened and versus what the documents actually show happened?
I think that's a reasonable comment, Skip. Yes.
So I'd like to make a motion that we find no violation of standard of care and that we recommend a non-disciplinary letter of concern.
That contains?
For what's the concern?
Regarding possible over-treatment and ensuring that the doctor always defines the diagnosis and indication of treatment in a more clear fashion.
David or Mindy, does that sound appropriate?
I think it's appropriate because honestly, diagnosis is really important and that's the standard of care. We don't have clear diagnosis. That's why we are in such a dilemma right now. We don't have good diagnosis.
The letter of concern should indicate the importance of a clear and distinct diagnosis and appropriate treatment planning based on that diagnosis.
Wouldn't we all agree if the chart said obvious bruxism, obvious parafunctional habits, and significant crazing, that all of us would go, oh, okay, and that would be the end of this?
Sure.
I would feel
it's not there. But
I don't know if I would still agree with doing restorations for that diagnosis.
Correct,
but
yes.
But the documentation would have helped.
But does that, so basically the language that I referenced is acceptable to include in the letter of concern, yes?
Correct.
Yes.
April, did that help?
Yes, that was perfect. Thank you.
And then any other comments?
Thank you.
Okay, so we're ready to vote on that letter of concern, non-disciplinary letter of concern as discussed. Roll call.
Who was the second, Dr. Motihari?
I think I first did.
The second for the what?
For the Dr. Harris made the motion. I didn't hear a second.
Oh, it was Dr. Motihari. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sorry. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
What?
Cross? Yes.
Riddell?
Yes.
Kami?
Yes.
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, so item number 8, 2022-00052. Ben?
Yes, this was a case reported by Dr. Cutler, Dr. Manu Arora, on a restorative case. First allegation involved tooth number 11, whether this tooth was usable, restorable. It was deemed non-restorable by the dentist, and ultimately an implant was placed after the extraction of tooth 11, and there were some modifications in the cost of treatment, which is typical when there is a change in treatment plan. On allegation 2, we're looking at tooth number 6 with radiographs in the report showing a large radiolucency that was not recorded within the record, although the doctor said that they had mentioned this to the patient, according to the attorney, but there was no indication in the record of that happening for tooth number six.
Thank you, Ben. And as you were reviewing that, I reminded myself, we do still have some work to do on the previous case, but we'll go back to it. So just someone remind me, we need to go back to case four just to clean up the final item of business on that. In this particular case, based on what was reported by the consultant, allegation number one was not substantiated. Allegation number two was substantiated. So is there discussion on either for either way or support of either one based on as they are presented? Is there agreement that allegation one is not substantiated?
Agreed.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody feel that it was substantiated? All right. So it looks like we're on allegation two. Is there agreement that that is substantiated?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So discussion on item two then. And there's no prior disciplinary action with the board on this dentist, for this dentist.
So I'll go ahead and make a motion on the violation. Move to recommend that the board find a violate, that there's unprofessional conduct pursuant to 32.1201.0114 based on allegation number two in the consultant's report of inadequate diagnosis.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Dodell, second. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. Roll call.
So I think there were some notes of the fact that the practitioner interchangeably confused number 6 and 11 throughout the records. I think both in the treatment plan as well as in the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I it still doesn't substantiate the fact that they spoke with the patient regarding number 6, I don't know if part of the confusion stems from the fact that they may have just interchangeably mixed up the canines and thought that they did. I don't know. Obviously, both canines had issues, right? So
what's your question?
I don't know if this was part of the conversation with the interview with the dentist. I don't know if
it was.
We can see.
He said Well. Again, I mean, I just think to a point Skip made, I think it's hard for us, Cynthia, to try to interpret, right? So there was a note that the dentist did confirm that there was a misstatement of teeth. But that's all we know. We don't know why it happened, or we can't interpret anything else from that. So we just have to make a decision based on what we understand on what's presented to us. I don't know that we can find out anything else or that we should, right? But yes, it was identified that there was confusion with that identification. So you're correct.
So maybe
I would just comment as a committee, we should steel our hearts to understand that this is the hand we've been dealt, and we have to make a decision based on the information provided and accept that and move on. You know?
Correct. I understand.
Tony, Ben raised his hand.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Just to bring a highlight to Dr. Cutler's report, the attorney, and I didn't read all the attorney's notes, but the attorney does state that written entry was missed. So
correct.
There is substantiation and validation that we're talking about six.
Correct. Yep, that's what I just mentioned too, though. But thank you for that. All right, so Cynthia, anything else on that?
So I'm Dr. Bertler. So is your point then that the it was addressed as far as there being confusion about number six?
I didn't read the attorney's notes, but I'm reading Dr. Cutler's final analysis, and in her final paragraph, she says, according to the attorney, that's where she leads off her conversation. According to the attorney, it was discussed with the patient, but not written in the records.
Correct.
So I'm just reading verbatim. I'd have to go back into the attorney's letter and find that where Dr. Cutler pulled that from.
Which is what we do. All right, Cynthia, anything else?
Yeah, Tony, I think it's Dr. Levine who's endoperio who's raising her hand.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure. Cynthia, you're good?
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Yes. You're on mute.
You're muted.
Thank you. I apologize. I did not see a written informed consent for the surgery. Did I miss that?
I don't know that that was identified. So it's possible.
Because the summary stated there was a complaint from misunderstanding of changes in the treatment, and an informed consent would help clarify that.
Sure. I think that's a wonderful point. Just it's interesting it wasn't listed in the report. But again, that's what we're doing right now. So thoughts about that? Did anybody else verify that? Is there an informed consent provided? Because if not, that does become a critical point.
So there is one for the surgical placement of the implant.
Okay.
Can you tell me what page you're seeing?
Sure. Page 1792.
It does. It also, there's a just a note to inform consent discussed on 8/24/21 medical history review. Informed consent discussed number 10 bridge retainer, number 11 surgical extraction, bone graft implant phase.
So it sounds like they covered written and verbal informed consent then.
Yep. I mean there is. So, but does that help you? Is that what you were looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Other comments? All right. So how do we want to handle?
I think we have a motion that's not voted on yet on the violation.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
We made a motion and a second, and then we started discussing, but I don't think we've done a vote on it yet.
No, I understand. That's why I was saying, is there any?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were moving on to something else. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So any further discussion on that current allegation for the tooth number six?
And board members, committee members, if you're thinking about adding another allegation, you can always rescind your motion for now. That way you don't kind of get into areas that you shouldn't be talking about while you're discussing the motion.
I think it was just a clarification of data, but I appreciate that. Yeah. All right, so as I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned this, there's no previous disciplinary action for this dentist.
No, we got to vote first on the violations before we talk about any previous discipline.
Yeah, okay. We've kind of gone back and forth. Seamus, anymore? Honestly, I'm just getting so confused. but we'll clarify it. I'm going to keep my head up and just keep that smile on my face, but we've kind of been all over the place. But nonetheless, I appreciate your comments. So any further discussion?
Before we go any further, if you feel like we're all over the place, if you'd like to, you know, clarify that.
I think we've been back and forth on some of this, but like I said, we're going to get there and we certainly help, you know, just need to do the best we can to push forward, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to make sure that you're clear, that everybody's clear, that you can discuss that discipline as soon as you finish that violation motion, always.
Yep. Okay. So for allegation number two, the motion is that there is agreement that it's substantiated. So how do we want to handle that?
So I made a motion about that. We just need to vote on my motion to
perfect.
The violation and that was, for that.
I believe, yeah, and it's as was reported in the consultant report, right? 32-1201-14?
Got it.
Okay. So looks like we're ready to vote. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Dodell?
Yes.
Kami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Mudahari?
Yes.
Okay. So, in terms of recommendations to the board, as I had mentioned, there are no previous disciplinary actions for this dentist. So, discussion about recommendation.
Now that we have established the violation, I would like to clarify that there is one prior for this deficiency.
Well, there is a prior.
Correct. Mm-hmm. In 2014, a non-disciplinary order was issued for 4 hours in risk management of the allegations of medically diagnosed and unnecessary treatment.
It is not up on the website, April.
That's because it's older than 5 years. The website only contains the last 5 years.
I see. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you for that. So 5 years back, look back on the website. All right. Thank you. All right. Understanding that, discussion on the recommendation. Any thoughts?
How long, if the other violation was over 5 years, can April, can you tell us when, how much over 5 years?
It was
2014. Oh, 2014, okay. I didn't hear.
8 years.
8 years, okay.
April, could you repeat again what CE was part of the consent, the disciplinary or non-disciplinary consent agreement at that time again?
It was 4 hours in risk management.
Thank you.
Well, can we all agree that the primary issue here is kind of unclear informed consent?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, the patient didn't feel like they felt like they had proper informed consent, correct? And we're all hemming and hawing because we're not sure exactly what happened there.
Yes. Well, what I was going under the assumption was that it was an inadequate diagnosis, that there wasn't a diagnosis made on.
Yeah, I think that's the issue, Skip, more so. I think we cleared up the informed consent situation. It is there. There was just a question of whether it was there or not. And it indicates that it was obtained both verbally and in writing. So I think the concern, the issue then becomes understanding exactly what occurred and agreeing or disagreeing with the consultant to which we just voted on that we agreed. So now it's a determination of how to handle this in terms of a recommendation, whether it be disciplinary or non-disciplinary.
Right. My point was, despite the fact that the chart does indicate that there was informed consent, the patient and the lawyers didn't feel like there was informed consent despite that fact. That's all I was getting at.
No, I understand, but I thought we cleared that up. So you go ahead. Help me.
I'm just saying isn't that fundamentally what the complaint is about?
I thought the issue that I was making the motion about with respect to the inadequate diagnosis had to do with the informed consent came for tooth number 11 and I think tooth number 2. That was diagnosed and informed consent received, but the radiolucent pathology around implant number 6 that was clearly visible was not diagnosed or appropriately handled.
I would say there is agreement to what you're saying, and I also think that's what Cynthia was identifying, because it does say, the consultant did say, informing the patient and starting the treatment with proper documentation in a timely manner is important to this case. So yes, I think there is a part of that, but the issue is inadequate diagnosis. Now, is it based in that? Potentially. So I think
maybe Sip, I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize.
No.
The point was that the inappropriate diagnosis is what contributed to the perception of lack of informed consent.
Correct. Yeah, that's my point is just that, you know, everybody's talking about 11, but 6 is what got worked on, or
right,
you know, and then the patient and the lawyer were complaining about there being confusion, and the lawyer even admitted that there was some confusion. And
right.
I'm just suggesting that that's as much an consent issue as.
So let's make a recommendation based on that. Disciplinary or non-disciplinary?
To me, it's not clear exactly what happened, so I don't feel like I can make a great recommendation.
Okay. Anybody feel like they can?
I'm leaning towards non-disciplinary because if this is, but if this unfortunately could have been just overlooked. I mean, this, you know, things got confused between 6 and 11, and I don't want to say an honest mistake, but it's a mistake, but not to the point of being malicious.
Okay. So a non-disciplinary recommendation for this, is that acceptable, or did anybody feel otherwise? Seems to be agreement with that. So what would that non-disciplinary recommendation be?
I make a motion that we recommend to the board, based on the information provided in the consultant's report, that we recommend 4 hours of non-disciplinary CE in record keeping and informed consent.
Okay.
Is that 4 hours in 4 in record keeping and 4 in informed consent, or 2 and 2, or how do you want to do it?
2 and 2.
Is there any other thoughts to that, or otherwise, is there a second?
I just have a comment. I was going about the second. I think going back to our previous conversation, I think it's going to be hard to find 2 hours for that subject.
Which one? You
know, well, either one. I think you might find maybe 2 hours in ethics, but I think it's going to be hard to find a 2-hour course just in record keeping.
Mm-hmm. Treatment planning?
I maybe add treatment planning, record keeping, and treatment planning as a combination to make up the hours or something.
Okay, record keeping and treatment planning, as well as informed consent. So like list all of those? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right, still at 4 hours, though, in those three areas?
Yes.
Is that better, David?
Yes.
Okay. So do we have a further discussion or a second to that motion?
Dodell, I'll second at this point.
Okay. And now that we have a second, any discussion on the motion as presented? Okay, so we're ready to vote. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Price?
Yes.
Dodell?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Pappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
Okay, so I had mentioned that we needed to go back, and I apologize that I just missed that, but it would be case number 4. And we didn't address the final comment that the consultant had made regarding the crowns that were done by Chang. So are we going to make a recommendation to the board to open up a new case on this, or are we going to leave that alone? per the just the recommendation, is it, are we going to address it or not? I guess maybe a better way to say it.
I think it's a good idea to make a recommendation that the board consider opening a case against the dentist who did the crowns.
Okay. Is there any other comments?
I agree
with that.
Okay, so the motion, there's a motion to recommend that the board open up a investigation to the dentist that did the crowns for that particular case. Correct?
Correct.
Is there a second?
Dodell will second.
I second that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion as presented? Hearing none, we're ready to vote. Roll call.
Caputo?
No.
Cross?
No.
Dodell?
Yes.
Fukami? Fukami? Harris?
Muted. Oh, she.
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Motihari?
Yes.
So, pass or fail, April?
Yeah,
5-2,
one not voting.
Dr. Fukiami's. Tony, her microphone's open now.
Oh, I just wanted to make, you had a chance to vote?
I said yes.
Okay, we got that. Thank you. All right, so it did pass?
Yeah. No, six.
So understanding it passed, is the recommendation just that, or do we want to add anything to the recommendation to the committee, to the board? Sorry.
I think that's all you'll need to do.
And okay.
Then, yep.
Fair enough. Just making sure. All right. Well, my friends, congratulations. We completed a full item for cases. So we are now on to item number 5, selection of committee members. So I know we briefly started this a couple meetings ago. But are there any nominations anybody would like to make or at least discuss of the list that we've been provided?
Can I ask a question before we go into that? How many slots are we voting on?
Two.
And I know there was some prior discussion about trying to keep the committee balanced in terms of not overloading it with too many but too many people in one area to have a good broad coverage.
Yeah, and if I can, and Deb Kappas, feel free to jump in here. The committee last time, there was a little bit of a discussion to expand the committee, not expand as in size, but to add another hygienist. Deb Kappas is the only hygienist. And if I can add a little more flavor to this conversation, the board on 9-2 voted to repeal its rules regarding the dental hygiene committee. So right now, the current makeup of the committee is 10 dentists, with two of them being vacant, and one hygienist, which is filled by Deb Kappas. And not to advocate for the hygienists, but I think that when the committee was looking at this last time, that this, there was some leaning toward that, but I thought that you should be aware that the board just recently on 9-2 is looking to repeal the rules regarding the hygiene committee. Deb, do you want to add anything to that to maybe advocate for a hygienist?
I think it's reasonable for the committee to always consider a hygienist as an addition, but I also appreciate the desire to have the specialties covered. But I do think that there is at least one hygienist that is on the list that would be a good addition, having done some triage work in the past for the board. So there is a hygienist with some experience with this kind of work on the list of initial applicants that might be worth considering.
Are there any specialties that are currently not represented on the board? I'm sorry, I don't know everybody that
I don't think we have an orthodontist or a pediatric dentist, which is where I was looking at when I reviewed the list.
So that strikes me as a priority, maybe.
I agree with that.
Okay. So are there names that anybody would like to put forward? I don't mind starting.
Can I also ask a question on that too?
Yes.
So I remember the desire or feeling that we should include an orthodontist because I think based on what we see on our monthly caseload, there's oftentimes an ortho case, right? Either every month or every other month, it seems. And so having an expert consultant in that field would be, I think, very helpful. And so to that end, that's why I think I was going to suggest several orthodontists. I also might make the same argument for maybe oral facial pain, because I think we have some sort of non-odontogenic pain cases that have arisen as well. I'm trying to look at what we see on a monthly basis to determine what our needs are, and I was taking that approach instead. That's why I kind of wondered if do we need another hygienist? I don't see too many hygiene cases that have hygienist-related cases.
Yeah, I think those are great points, and it's honestly why I thought about a pediatric dentist, because we've seen pediatric dentistry cases with some frequency too. So I completely hear you. So understanding maybe that there's at least some agreement on an orthodontist, would you like to put forward any names and see if we maybe have any similarities?
Are there many orthodontists? I don't see that many names, like one or two only.
I would like to recommend someone.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to recommend Dr. Berrigan. She's an orthodontist and also was a GP for 10 years before she was an orthodontist. So she has a good broad background. She was not just always an orthodontist.
Well, she was my pick.
Okay, so good.
I would have to add my vote for her too. I had an opportunity to work with her as one of our orthodontic consultants at Phoenix College Dental Hygiene Program. And she worked with our program very well with students. And
Any other affirmation for Dr. Berrigan?
Tony, I would also recommend we pick a backup because these names were all submitted over a year ago. So
sure.
We select by this line and not go.
Who's
back
your backup?
Okay.
Dr. Berrigan, number one, though, it seems like. Is there any disagreement with that, or are we generally in acceptance of that? So we can at least make that a number one. While you're looking, I would recommend, for me, I just in looking at the list, Dr. Imtiaz as a pediatric dentist. He's practiced in Arizona for a long time. He has a very good background in pediatric dentistry. I think he's knowledgeable and well-versed, and I think he would be a good addition as a pediatric dentist. So I'll just put that out there while we're looking maybe for a second on the orthodontic list.
I'm sorry, who was the name of the one, of the pedo?
Umar Imtiaz. Imtiaz.
Got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to read the CV.
Yeah, that's fine. And any other recommendations that anybody's thinking of? Cynthia, understanding your comment regarding oral facial pain, was there someone on the list that you were thinking about?
Sina Patel.
Mm-hmm. I think she would be terrific.
And I would agree with that, too.
Great recommendation.
I would agree with that one too.
Okay. So we have Dr. Patel and Dr. Berrigan that we're considering reaching out to, as well as maybe Dr. Imtiaz. Anybody have anything regarding Dr. Imtiaz one way or the other? Okay. And anybody else, any other names, considering that we might want to have backups, as we said? And do we look at, so when we're reaching out to these folks, do we look at them in an order as we're presenting them, or as maybe was mentioned, just in the area that we're looking at?
So maybe when you are stratifying or trying to figure that out, there are four orthodontists listed on this chart. And
okay.
Maybe one other thing I took into consideration was their years of experience.
Sure.
There were many excited folks to volunteer their time. I appreciate that. But many were only out of program or residency maybe 3 years or less. And I didn't know that would confer the skill set maybe required from this committee. So I was looking at least a minimum of 5 years of experience before considering them for the committee, if that makes sense.
Sure. So was there another orthodontist that you were thinking about?
So Goldstein, I think, was also on that list.
Okay. Anybody know Dr. Goldstein? And
yeah, he's fantastic.
Okay. So maybe Berrigan 1 and Goldstein 2. Is that acceptable? Okay. So we'll look for that position and see if either one of them will accept it. How's that sound? And then do we look to Dr. Imtiaz and Dr. Patel to fill the other? Is that okay? And anybody have any other
comment about Dr. Patel?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been with her since the beginning, since she was actually a student here. She is very, very difficult to get the hold of to attend any meeting. I tell you, we have multiple meetings with her. She has never made even to one. Just because she's just busy with so many things that she's doing. I just wanted to mention that it's going to be almost, I have never been able to get her for any meeting. I don't know. You know, Tony, about that. So I hope she makes that the priority.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And that's who's going to be the one reaching out, Ryan?
So you guys will make a motion in a second to recommend that the board accept, and I would give an order. And right now I have four names, and then staff, probably Christina, will reach out, and she'll reach out in order of 1, 2. And then as soon as we hear back, if 1 and 2 accept, then she won't reach out to 3 and 4. If either 1 or 2 doesn't accept, then she'll reach out to 3 and 4 in that order.
Okay. And I guess part of my reason for saying that is that we can emphasize the time commitment and make sure they understand that.
Yeah, and we've tried to do that, and we'll reemphasize it again.
Okay. So are there any other names that anyone wants us to consider? Are we comfortable with the four names that have been presented?
Yeah, I would just comment that I'd rather see a pediatric dentist than a facial pain specialist.
Okay. So why don't we do this? Make our number 1, Dr. Berrigan, our number 2, Dr. Imtiaz, and then number 3, Dr. Patel. And if Dr. Berrigan declines, we go to Dr. Goldstein. Is that okay with you, Ryan? Does that make sense? We basically want an orthodontist. So if Berrigan says no, we want to keep that one position available for an orthodontist. Okay. So we either want Berrigan or Goldstein. And if both of them decline, then we can look to Patel and Imtiaz, unless anybody else has other recommendations.
But you don't want to end up with 2 orthodontists.
We don't want 2 orthodontists, correct.
It makes sense. So I have 1 as Berrigan, 2 as Imtiaz, 10 as Goldstein is number 3, and then Patel.
Well, if Berrigan says yes, then it's Imtiaz Patel.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. If Berrigan says no, then we'll look to Goldstein.
Yep.
All right. So understanding that, any other names?
I just want to throw another hat in. I don't think he put in there. Shackelford is actually the only oral pathologist in Arizona. So if you think you would need that, I don't know. It's kind of like orofacial pain. It's pretty narrow field, but he didn't put in there, but he's an oral pathologist.
We'll put him as number five. Fair enough.
I would disagree. I think that's getting really narrow. You'd rather have someone with a little bit of broader background.
Right. So don't put him. Okay.
And I think your oral surgeons will be able to handle the oral path requirements when they crop up.
Okay. So we're good with the four then.
Okay.
All right. So can I get a motion for those four names?
Dodell will make a motion for the four names.
Second.
Levine second.
Levine second. Any discussion on the motion? Further discussion? So roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dodell?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
And Motahari?
Yes.
And then Ryan, the formalities of the languages, the language will be taken care of as far as making it in order, et cetera.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay. All right. So we're now on item six, committee elections. So we need to identify a chair and a vice chair. So nominations for chair, item A.
I make a motion that we nominate Anthony Caputo for chair.
I second that.
I third it.
Any other nominations? Kind of a weird thing to say, right?
This is one of those things that you have no competition, Anthony.
I appreciate that. Okay. So, formal vote, yes or no, Ryan?
Yeah, I would take a vote. And you don't have to do a roll call if you don't want. And if you don't want to vote, you don't have to vote.
Is that a conflict of interest?
Okay. So did you say vote or not vote?
Yeah, I would do a vote, but you don't need to do a roll call on this one. I think if you just do all in favor, say so, and then those that don't.
Okay. So we'll just do it the easy way for Zoom. Anybody not in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Not in favor?
Not in favor.
Okay.
That's easier than hearing a bunch of noises.
Sounds like he's trying to get out of the job already.
Yeah, right. Truth question. All right, so motion passes. Thank you. All right, so nominations for vice chair.
If I may, the vice chair won't have a huge responsibility if Dr. Caputo attends all the meetings, but if there's a conflict, then you'll basically take over as the chair for the meeting. And staff may reach out to you periodically, but there's not a huge commitment as a vice chair. But it's helpful to have should Dr. Caputo not be available.
I make a motion that Dr. Skip Harris be selected for vice chair.
Second?
I second that.
Okay. Skip, you okay?
Yep.
Accept the motion, accept the nomination? With a smile even. Look at that.
I can't read that, the smile. Is that the happiness or what the heck it just happened?
Cheshire Cat. Any other nominations? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. All those against the motion indicate by saying aye. Hearing none, motion carries. Congratulations, Dr. Harris.
Thank you.
Okay. Item seven, summary of current events. Anything we need to say there, Ryan?
This is just if somebody attended a conference or something like that and wants to just point out something to the committee, and it doesn't have to be a conference. It could be anything that is newsworthy. And most of the time, there's not a lot to be said on this topic. The next one would be if something came up from seven, and you wanted to put another put something on a future agenda, you would put it under eight. So this is really just an opportunity, no vote, no discussion, nothing, just comment on something you've recently done that you think everybody else should know.
For the good of the order.
Yeah.
Anyone? Okay. Hearing none. Anything to discuss or possible action for future meeting agendas? Item number eight.
Yeah, so I talked to Seamus Monahan, who's your current, hopefully long-term attorney. We, mostly he, will try to put together a quick type of training for your next meeting. I think it's important that it felt, I know that even Dr. Caputo said it felt a little clumsy today or out of sorts or whatever. Part of it is the struggle of being new, but second to that, you guys have only been a committee since February, and you've already dealt with three different attorneys. I think it's probably good to just go through some quick, a recap of what can and can't be done, and maybe just something to help ease you through the process. And maybe we could even start the meeting with that so that it may help ease through the next meeting.
Absolutely. And just as a general comment, Seamus, I don't know your experience with dentists, but speaking generally, we're very directed and detail oriented. Just tell us what we need to do in the order that we need to do it, and then we follow that order. What throws us off is when the order changes. So just keeping it, you know, this is what you do, 1, 2, and 3, that's helpful. So we would look forward to that, and I appreciate that a lot. The only other thing that I would mention is I really like that Excel spreadsheet. So I don't know if it was just not provided because the caseload was diminished, but if it's possible to do that, boy, I would certainly encourage it and appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? So our next committee meeting is October 11th. And I am concluding that we will be doing it at 1 o'clock again. Mm-hmm. So very good. And
it's super important when we send out that, I'll call it, it's a Google form. It's kind of a survey of whether or not you can attend, to try to respond to it as soon as possible. It makes it super challenging whether or not to notify people that are going to come before the committee if we don't know whether or not we have a quorum. Quorum has been a hard thing to establish for both this committee and the board. I should tell you, maybe this is future also, you will, in your next committee meeting, you actually will get paid because this committee becomes official September 24th. So you'll, not that you are going to be run into the bank, but you'll start getting checks for attending these meetings in the October meeting.
I thought Skip said it's Chick-fil-A.
Can I?
Please. Go ahead.
Just of note, and I know I've already may have made mention of this, the next committee meeting, which I will attend, but is during the fall break. And for those who have children in school, they may or may not have plans already for that week. So I just wanted to make mention of that now before while keeping an eye towards a quorum.
Yeah, the one of the craziest things to that, and Cynthia, have it myself, your fall break is not our fall break.
100%.
Tucson schools are all over the board. But your point is well taken, gosh darn it. But it is hard. I think the greater issue is there's going to be conflicts, and I think that's why we understand we're not all going to make every meeting, and hopefully by increasing the number of members, we can ensure that we have a quorum and just do the best we can. But, boy, your point is so well taken.
And now that you're getting a big paycheck, why would you want to not miss a meeting?
Right, I mean, when you say Chick-fil-A, I mean, it all is just a whole different animal. I mean, except for chicken, not cows.
Unfortunately, I will be out of town despite the Chick-fil-A offer that week.
There you go. All right. Now, we may have these new people by then, Ryan, yes?
That's hopefully. So the board meets on October 7th and they could confirm these individuals and we can get them. They're not going to have a whole lot of time to ramp up, but we don't even know that we have a board quorum for October 7th. Currently, there's 11 members. 9 have responded. 5 of them cannot attend. So we're short a quorum by 2, and we're waiting for those 2 responses. So hopefully we'll have new members on the 11th, but it's not looking hopeful.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Thank you for that. All right. Understanding that, we are now at adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
First, Kappas, second, Harris. All those who don't want to leave this meeting, say aye. Okay, folks, well, hey, great job. Seamus, go ahead.
I was just going to say, next meeting, I'm going to throw you a huge curveball, and at the end, you don't have to make a motion. You can just adjourn it.
Nice. All right. Very good. We love it.
But thanks, guys. Great job.
Thank you, everybody. We just went about 2 hours. That's awesome. Have a great rest of the week and month. We'll take care.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.